Boy, is it hot in here? Wow, it feels warm. It feels warm. And I don't... Oh, dear me, I've broken this now. What have I done? The presence of God is here in this place. Yeah? And we need, you know, if you haven't recognised it, then begin to recognise it. Begin to open your spirit. Yeah? Begin to open your mind to see where you are and what you're in. Yeah? And we're blessed. We're so blessed. And we take it for granted so often. We don't know what we've got. But we're so blessed to know that. That spirit of God, that atmosphere of God in this place. And we need to stir up what's within us. The scripture says, stir up the gift that's within us. And it's difficult when Adrian was talking there before about singing out something and we're conscious of our voices. Am I in tune? You know, does it sound stupid? Just let that go and just stir up whatever's within you and just go for it. Whatever God is laying on your heart and on your spirit, and just let it out there. Yeah. As we've spoken the name of Jesus today over nations, as we've spoken the name of Jesus over our families, over our communities, over those broken hearts, we've spoken the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And that's nations, that's individuals, that's situations, that's circumstances, that's you and me. Everything under his feet. Praise God. We're talking in our series on grace this morning, and I need to get back on track, or we'll be all over the place. But we're starting in Romans chapter 8. And if you've got your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, starting to read at verse 5. If you've got a notice sheet, we've actually printed the verses on your notice sheet, so you've got it there. And it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. You, me, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but we are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. What a passage of scripture that is. What a passage of scripture. AD spoke last week on the first four verses. If you haven't listened to that podcast, please do so. And it begins, and we've already quoted this today, with an enormous, and I say enormous, declaration about the grace of God. And that's what our overall banner is. We're talking about grace in these sermon series. And this is what it says. There is now, when is now? It's right now. Today. There is now, today, no, and no means no. Right? If you say no to a child, you mean no. But sometimes we slip in, parents, don't we? And grandparents, and we sort of slip it a little bit. We say no, but we give in. Yeah? But this is a no, no. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Whatever you've done this week, whatever you've done this morning, there is no condemnation. That doesn't mean you can do what you like. It's not a license to say, well, I'll just go and steal a few things before I come into church. You know, nobody will know. It doesn't mean that. We know it doesn't mean that. There's no condemnation, but we trip ourselves up, we pull ourselves down. This little thing here, the mind, just wrecks us, yeah? And you know, there's no condemnation, and there never ever will be. No condemnation, and there never ever will be, which is absolutely unbelievable. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from sin forever. How? Because Jesus died and rose again for us. Through his life and his death, we are set free from sin forever. It's unbelievable. But that is the truth of God's word. And that's what we described last week in verses 1 to 4. How the life and death of Jesus has made us free from sin. And now we move on to these verses in 5 and 11. And Paul here is comparing two forms of life. One is the life in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's us, for we are in Christ. If you've got Christ in your life today, then that's who you are. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of Christ. The other is a life lived according to the flesh. And the flesh life is when we've got minds set on ourselves. Selfish minds. Desires of the flesh. Things that we want that are not right. And we all know what those things are. I don't need to list them. You know those things which attract you, which you know are wrong. And I don't need to be told if I'm watching something on the television, which I shouldn't be watching. Yeah? I've got a verse on my phone, which I don't know if I can get it out here quickly enough. I wasn't going to say this, but it just come to my head now. But I think it's important that I say it. And I've got a voice on my phone, which comes on my phone at 25 past 10 every night. And it says this: blessed is the man who endures temptation. I've got that there because I can just be watching the telly and thinking, oh, well, I'm not really tired. I'll just flick through a few channels. Yeah? Done it. Been there. Got the T-shirt. I got that on my phone that it comes up as a warning. Switch it off. Don't have it on. And that's my temptation. Maybe you've got a different one. I don't know what it could be. It could be gluttony. It's a flesh thing. There's extremes. Those desires that we have are hostile, it says in verse 7. They are hostile to God. Romans 12 says this: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And we've got to have earthly things. We've got to live. We've got to go shopping. I know Tom hates going shopping. You've got to go shopping, otherwise you starve. You've got to do those things, yeah? You've got to get washed, or you stink. Yeah?
I'm just naturally fragrant.
Or a natural fragrance, yeah. I've already been told about my aftershave this morning. I won't tell you by who. But we've got to do earthly things. You've got to plan ahead. You've got to think about your job, your future, your education, your career. These things are important things, yeah? They're earthly things. But if they overwhelm us, if they control our minds, and they do in certain circumstances, then no way. Let them go. Park them. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Yeah, be anxious for nothing. I'm not worried about the future. God's in control of my life. That doesn't mean I can be stupid, but it means I've got no anxiety, no stress. Because God's in charge of my life. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Why? Because you've died. I've died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Ephesians 4:22 says this: throw it off. And that's what we need to do, yeah? When you've got something you want to get rid of, get shut of it. Throw it off. Throw off the sinful nature, and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. We've been deceived, and that's what the enemy is. He's a roaring lion going round trying to trip us up. Instead, let the Spirit renew your mind, your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. As Christians, you see, we've got the Spirit of God within us. And those who haven't, we just know they haven't. Ephesians 2, I'm going to read this again because, again, it's all just good stuff and it's better than my words. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live." We don't live in it anymore. We live in the world, we live in society, but we don't live in that kingdom of darkness anymore, in which our sins affect us. "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." It's no wonder there's problems around our nations and world. We know where it's coming from. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us," not will sit us, "he has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ." Did you know you're seated in heavenly places? I couldn't get my head around this. I had to read it a few times. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. It's unbelievable. But that's the truth of God's word. I've got to get it into here, that I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's just unbelievable. But that's the truth of God's word. I've been raised up in Christ. I'm seated with him in heavenly realms, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. When do I ever do enough? When can I ever, ever, ever do enough? I think someone touched on this on a sermon a few weeks ago. I think it was Andrew possibly who said, it's the same in every other faith and religion other than Christianity. You've got to do so much. And how do you ever know when you've done enough? You never ever know you've done enough, because there's always the next thing to do. But Jesus says, "I've done it all. You don't have to do anything. I've done it for you." And you know, it's all right for us. We can always point the finger at somebody, but I always like this. When I'm pointing the finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at me. I can't point the finger at somebody and say, look at you over there. It's only by the undeserved, unmerited grace of God and the favor of God that I can say who I am in Christ Jesus. I can't boast in anything of myself, what I've done, who I am. I can only boast in Christ Jesus. And often, we always say this phrase, "There but for the grace of God go I." And when we look around the world, it's the truth. There but for the grace of God. We see some of the events that have happened. There but for the grace of God go I. And you know, that phrase, it was first penned by a guy called John Bradford. I'd never really heard of him before. Tom's probably heard of him. But he was one of the reformers. And he was burnt at the stake in 1555. And one of his quotes was this: "On seeing evildoers taken to the place of execution, he was wont to exclaim, 'But for the grace of God, there goes John Bradford.'" There but for the grace of God goes I. Paul himself says in 1 Corinthians 15, I am the least of all the apostles and don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. The grace of God. You've heard this acronym. I think it's an acronym. I can't say it. God's riches at Christ's expense. You've got the full riches of God. The full riches of heaven. And it's not pounds, shillings and pence, but it can be if you want it. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's all for you guys. It's all for you to live your life in freedom, in liberty, in peace, in safety. Jesus has paid it all for you. An old hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has lost its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The fullness of God in me. I thought it was really great last week when Adrian did these quotes and you shouted them out. I don't know if you remember what they were, but this is what they were. I am a new creation. Yeah. If you're feeling a bit, you are a new creation in Christ. Yeah. I am dead to sin. My relationship to sin is broken. If you've got a habit or something that's wrecking you, that's pulling you down, it's dead. You are dead to it. Let it go. It's gone. Yes, you're going to have to stand on it, but stand upon God's word and say, no. It's not going to wreck me anymore. It's not going to interfere anymore. It's dead to my relationship to sin. I have everything I need to live a godly life, equipped to live in his divine nature. And you have everything. All you've got to do is appropriate it. Yeah? If you're not in close relationship with Jesus, and we talked a lot about this in our way of life, then don't be surprised if things begin to slip away. If you're not in constant daily contact with God, through prayer, through reading your Bible, if you're not in fellowship regularly, then don't be surprised if things start to slip. That's why the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because we need each other. We need that support. We need to encourage one another, to pray with each other, to build each other up. Do it during the weeks, guys. Somebody's already told me today they're going to send a WhatsApp message to somebody. Brilliant. We need to do that more and more and more. Because we get loads of junk messages, but we need some positive messages of encouragement. And we need to encourage each other because we're in a battle. This is a battleground. When you go to work, when you go to your schools, whatever you're doing in life, it's tough in your families even. But God is with us. The Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's unbelievable. And because of the Spirit of Christ is in us, it says in verse 11, we will be resurrected from the dead, just as Jesus was. Oh, praise God. No fear, no anxiety, no stress. Why do we stress out? Why on earth do we stress out? There's absolutely no need. There honestly isn't, guys. God's our Heavenly Father. We're seated with him in heavenly places. What's the problem? There's no problem. He's in charge. Sing that song, I've set my heart on you. It's where we set our heart that matters. It's where we set our mind. Set our mind on the things above. Yeah? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that I'm your child today. I thank you, Lord, that you've saved me by your grace. You've saved me, Lord. I just don't know why you've saved me, but you have. And I just thank you, Lord. The unmerited favor of God upon my life. I just bless you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I'm seated with you in heavenly places. Seated with you in heavenly places. Glory to God. I bless you. Lord, I just pray for every single person, Lord, here today. I pray for everyone listening on the podcast, Lord, that you would renew our minds. Get our thoughts in line with your thoughts, Lord. Get our lives in line with your lives, Lord, so that we can live those lives that you want us to live, to impact those around us, Lord. Because your heart goes out for those people around us, Lord, who you want to bring into the same relationship that we have with you. Glory to God. Bless you, Lord.